And this is your business at 2, and also here on this lovely Tuesday midday, in terms of where you find yourself, this is where your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM brings you the insightful business discussions. But for the session, for the first 5 to 7 minutes, we've got a very special guest on air, as well as also from the National Road Safety Council, Madam Lydia Nakatana. Madam Lydia, how are you doing, and welcome to the discussion here.
Thank you so much. Good day, listener. This is Lydia from National Road Safety Council. It's really good having you on your radio.
And Madam Lydia, if we have to start off, you know, just taking a look at for the rest of the year with regards to road safety campaigns, what would the National Road Safety Council like to share in terms of the broader Namibian public and also especially listeners here on Eagle FM?
Okay, what I would like to share this afternoon, I would just like to inform the public that we are now at Ongwediva Trade Fair. We are here promoting road safety. We are giving education on our 5 focus areas, which are speeding, which is driving under the influence of alcohol, pedestrian safety, and also we are looking at fire safety, and also, as mentioned, seatbelt safety. So basically what we are having at our stall is we are giving demonstrations on these things I've mentioned earlier. So the public can just come to our stall so we can educate them on road safety.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. And yes, just if we had to look at the importance of a seatbelt, Madam Lydia, what can you share with a lot of the listeners? Because we are drivers, most of us, and the importance of the seatbelt component. What can you share with that bit of wisdom that exists for everyone in a car?
Seatbelt safety is very important. It's very important to wear a seatbelt for the reason that when, if the driver just suddenly brakes, that seatbelt will keep you safe. It will prevent you from moving out of the car, from being thrown out of the car. So that seatbelt will secure you in place. Like I said, at our store, we do have a simulator called a seatbelt convincer. That convincer is giving a real demonstration how it feels to be in an accident.
Yeah.
On how it feels on the actual force that is generated during the accident. So in our convincer, we have a 5 to 10 mph collision, which is a very low impact collision that will at least allow the public, the participant, to experience that feeling of being involved in a car accident.
And Madam Lydia, especially with that simulator that provides the importance that speaks to both, you know, the impacts of an accident, and obviously also the role that a seatbelt plays. The simulator, how has it helped with changing perspectives for the public as well? What have you seen? What can you share with Eagle FM's listeners?
So far, what I've seen here at the show is that many people, which is very fortunately that many of them weren't involved in a car accident. So many of them, they do not have an experience how much impact the collision actually has. So it's very good to see people having the type of reaction that they are having. They are actually taking it very seriously. They were actually taking the safety belts very seriously now, having that experience now on being involved in a collision like that. Imagine this is even low impact. It's a low impact collision. Imagine it was a huge one. It's really good that people are actually taking it very serious, like how important the seatbelt it really is.
Exactly. Madam Lydia, just in terms of a last word that you would like to share with the listeners before I let you go, what would you still want to say?
I would just like to encourage the people in the area of Ongwediva to come to Ongwediva Trade Fair so they can learn, so we can give them our road safety education. I would also like to encourage our public to adhere to all the rules of the road. Please, let's stop speeding. We should also give right of way to pedestrians. as for pedestrians, they must wear reflective clothing all the time, especially during the road light of the day. Mm. Because you mostly find people wearing reflective at night, but then sometimes it's a little bit cloudy, the cars can't see you, the drivers can't see you. Mm. So you must always wear reflective clothing. And also, let's not drink and drive, please. And we must take care of our little ones on the road. These kids are very small, so seeing how big a car is, it's very difficult to see a child coming on. So we must always be on alert when we are driving.
Exactly, exactly.
Madam,
exactly. Madam Lydia, thank you once again for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners here on Eagle FM.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye.
No problem. Bye. Now, that brings us into our next item, taking a look at another event, and this one is in the Lüderitz, in the Karas region, wherein the Lüderitz SME Extravaganza is scheduled for this coming Thursday, the 1st of September. However, we spoke to the chairman, as well as also the founder of the event, Mr. January Ivula, who shared this insightful discussion with us. And on the line, we've got the founder, as well as also the chairperson of the Lüderitz 2022 SME Extravaganza, Mr. January on the line, who is, you know, getting ready for the big day, which will be the 1st of September, coming up in this week, this Thursday. Mr. January, thank you and welcome here on the Business at 2 on Eagle FM.
Yes, thank you very much, Eagle FM, and a good afternoon to the Namibia and especially the community of Lüderitz.
And then, Mr. General, if we can step right into the discussion, if we had to look at this SME Extravaganza, just indicate to our listeners, you know, what is it all about? What does it aim to provide?
You know, H25, which is led by me, myself, and I, January, we came up with a theme last year called the MECT.
Mm.
And the MECT means Managing Exhibition, Conference, and Tour.
Mm.
So this year we are busy with the Volume 2 of the MECT, and we launched the Atlantic Cup early this year in March.
Mm.
So the Lüderitz SME Extravaganza is a fundraising project for the Atlantic Knockout Cup competitions that will take place every year within Lüderitz.
Mm.
So the event is taking place from the 1st until the 4th of September, which is starting this Thursday. The event is kicking off with a gala dinner, which will take place 6 o'clock Thursday in the afternoon at the new Lüderitz waterfront.
Mm.
And then we continue with exhibitions at the Lüderitz Sports Stadium. And sport courts also kick off the same Thursday until Sunday.
Mm.
And we have our most important part of the event, which is the marathon, which is a new marathon. We invite the entire community in Namibia and Lüderitz to participate in the marathon. The marathon will take place from the Lüderitz Sports Stadium towards the route of Diaz Point.
Mm.
Yes.
And then, Mr. January, if we had to look at this, since this is 4 days of events, which includes all these sports and cultural events, the aspect is it also to boost the tourism component of Lüderitz itself? I mean, if tourists had to look at how Lüderitz is positioned, sometimes people sit with a perception that it's too far off from any other point that they can access. What would you like to say out there to tourists, to visitors, you know?
It's a bone child from Lüderitz. I was born and raised in Lüderitz.
Mm.
And 30 years old now, I am proud to contribute towards the tourism of Lüderitz on behalf of my team.
Mm.
On behalf of my company as well. Yes, one of the aims and objectives and the mission is also to put our town on the map. You know, Lüderitz is very far.
Mm.
In Namibia, it's a large town in Namibia, in the southern part of Namibia. But it's also a very, very rich town in terms of history of Namibia.
Mm.
You know, we are a small industrial town that has all different types of industries. We talk about the fish, we talk about the mining industry, and then we talk about the history of the Lüderitz Anton Laboski then.
Mm.
You know, so yes, We invite all tourists to come to Lutherans. They are welcome, as they have always been welcome. I believe that Lutherans is one of the top three or the top towns as the tourism attraction in America, and we would like to keep that as number one. Yes.
Exactly, exactly. And then just having a look at the what are the key events or sort of like the key highlights for this upcoming extravaganza, Mr. January, if you can just run that down for our listeners, what can they look out to besides the marathon, which is itself also a signal in terms of one of the biggest sports events?
We're having SME exhibition. Remember, we are now running at more than 30 SMEs that will exhibit different categories. And then we have marathon, like I said, we have soccer, we have netball, we have volleyball, and then we have something new, which is auctioning. We invite people that has old clothes, old cars, old equipment, anything. You are welcome. Come join us in Lutherans, man. It's all about buy and sell. It's all about entertainment, and it's all about networking, and it's all about the SMEs. Remember, sports clubs are also SMEs. They fall under SMEs because you must register your sport club as an SME if you want to participate in sports. So we invite the entire Namibia, the entire community of Namibia, Africa at large. Everybody, please, book up Lutherans. You are all invited.
Exactly, exactly. And then on that note, Mr. January, thank you for the time. Thank you for taking the time to talk to our listeners and just indicating to them how important this upcoming calendar event is.
Thank you very much, Eagle. I just wanted to add on top of that we are always honored to be recognized by a good radio station. Keep up the good work. For any other information, people can contact me on 081-72-55-551. And I will lead you to the different departments. Whatever you want, whatever you need, I will lead you to the right person to communicate with.
Now that brings us into our next item, which takes a look at the very importance of local energy generation. For that, let's have a listen to this report.
Namibia's local energy generation rate stands at below 10%. Now, the current 20 independent power producers only account for 8.6% of the country's installed generation capacity, and this is equivalent to 167.9 megawatts, increasing by a 1.2% from the previous year, and this is according to the Electricity Control Board of Namibia in terms of the updates that were provided recently. Now, the country has, however, a system maximum hourly demand of between 617 and 688 megawatts, adding this to the NamPower installed generation capacity, which includes three power stations of 489.5 megawatts, translates into 657.4 megawatts of installed capacity, which must not be confused with monthly opera generation. Monthly generation or monthly contributions from NamPower stations vary every month, and some have also been reduced by the aging infrastructure of the Van Eck power station. From NamPower's 489.5 megawatts installed capacity, 347 megawatts is from the seasonal Ruakana hydro plant. The country has been lauded and endowed with renewable energy sources that can be enhanced to reduce its import dependence. However, much is yet to be done to realize the potential of the abundant resources. Of the 167.9 megawatts renewable energy installed generation capacity, all of them utilize solar radiation for generation, and only one is wind generation, which is the Ombepo Energy. Another observation is that most of the 20 independent power producers have installed a generating capacity of 5 to 7 megawatts. Only two IPPs have more than that. The only and biggest IPP currently generating beyond the majority in Alt is the Alton Solar Power in the Hardap region, with an installed generation capacity of 45.45 megawatts, followed by Greennam Electricities, which has two projects in the south with 12.636 megawatts installed capacity. Now, the country's energy policy defines the security of energy supply as a situation where the country's generation fully meets the expected demand with appropriate reserves maintained sustainably and at an acceptable risk level. As of June 2021, NamPower had imported 50% and 60% of the country's energy requirement. the country's small generating capacity and slowness in taking advantage of the abundant renewable energy cost around $3.4 billion in electricity imports in 2021 alone. This is, however, not in keeping with the White Paper on Energy Policy's target, which stipulated that some 75% of electrical energy and 100% of peak electricity demand was to be supplied from local resources before reaching 2030. Now, according to the ECB, the aspiration of the White Paper is not too far-fetched because there are 37 generation licenses that have been issued to IPPs with a total installed capacity of 1,037 megawatts more than what the country needs. However, 17 of the 37 issued generation licenses are not operational as yet, with massive capital required to reach the operational stages. Now, these projects include the Nathaniel Makhwalili Power, which will be gas-fired with a 586 megawatt installation in Erongo region. Another big license is issued to the Shonao solar project in Karasburg, which plans to have 124 megawatts of installed capacity. The Diaz wind power license has various projects at Okatope, Speergebied and Lüderitz, with a total installed capacity of 44 megawatts, followed by access to Ausenkeer Solar 1, which plans to generate 25 megawatts in Usakas. While Sino Investments in Agerus plans to add 19.31 megawatts to the grid, as for the ISPS solar operation, Solnam Energy and CGN Energy plan to utilize the abundant solar radiation and generate at least 13 megawatts, 12.3 megawatts, and 12 megawatts respectively. However, no dates are attached when the projects will be operational due to various factors that investors must maneuver and solve to get the projects off the ground. Now, the energy policy, as it documents, indicates Namibia's electricity generation subsector is faced with a situation that existing generation capacity is well below peak demand, resulting in reliance on importation or if imported electricity in terms of energy and capacity. The most promising local renewable electricity potentials are often intermittent, and the development of base load generation from local energy resources has proven to be difficult. Now, the country still relies on Anixas and Van Eck as base loads in case the Ruakana River flow does not come through, and on imports at the same time. The development of key large-scale generation projects has proven challenging, as the country has made some strides in policies and on the regulatory side with modified single buyers, not metering, and others. However, the insufficient local generation capacity is to meet peak demand persists. As a result, the lack of local base load generation capacity increases the country's reliance on imported electricity. The energy policy has admitted the available local energy resources are not sufficiently utilized, with a lack of quantifications of potential additional local energy resources as a non-optimal focus on certain resources. Moreover, despite uranium riches, the country has not formulated regulatory frameworks for developing nuclear energy. And as for now, the country is comfortable being just ranked the fourth biggest producer of yellow cake, then shipping it to France and China to power their reactors. At the same time, internally, it faces energy insecurity. The president of the African Development Bank says that Africa's renewable energy resources offer huge investment opportunities for Japanese businesses. This is according to the AFDB president, Dr. Akinwumi Adesina. Now, this was said at the function wherein Japanese businesses are encouraged to invest more on the continent, where investment opportunities and returns on investment are among the highest in the world. Adesina urged the participants at the 8th Tokyo International Conference on African Development, TICAD 8, that was recently held in Tunisia. Now, Adesina commended the Japanese government and private sector for their strong support to Africa's development. He also added that Japanese businesses need to assess Africa's investment opportunities based on the facts and evidence generated from it, and not based upon perceptions that are in existence. The bank's head said, in 2020, Moody's Analytics performed a 10-year cumulative assessment of global infrastructure debt default rates by region. If found It found that Africa was the region with the second lowest cumulative default rate after the Middle East. Now that is proof, once again, that infrastructure as an asset class in Africa is solid, secure, and profitable. Now this infrastructure debt default rates is when the investors look at investing in infrastructure in a region around the world. Now 20 African heads of state were attending this conference in the Tunisian capital of Tunis from 27 to 28 August, where Japanese officials and business leaders, heads of international organizations, were also taking part in this conference. Senegal's president, Macky Sall, said that the Japanese corporations have the technological and finance capacity needed to set up partnerships on the continent in sectors such as infrastructure, transportation, and housing. The Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations, Amina Mohammed, commended the foresight of Japan in establishing the TICAD in 1993. Mohammed added, by warning about the scale of the challenges currently facing the continent, adding that thanks to platforms such as TICAD, the continent already have the partnerships in place to respond to these challenges in solidarity. Now, the AU Commission's chairperson, Musa Faki Mahamat, lauded Japan for its efforts to build African capacity through education and training. He praised the Japanese initiative that has trained over 1,000 young Africans in nutrition. The African Development Bank chief indicated that the countries on the continent would require significant financial resources to cope with the impacts of COVID-19, accelerating climate change, and Russia's war in Ukraine. Adesina, the president of the AFDB, says, "This is the time to strongly support the African Adaptation and Acceleration Program to mobilize $25 billion for climate adaptation for Africa, especially as we look forward to COP27 in Egypt." Now, Adesina said that the bank's African Emergency Food Production Facility, which was launched in May this year, was providing a $1.13 billion for 24 countries in financing an expected $1.5 billion emergency food production component. The AFDB is fast-tracking approval of the facility earlier in 2022 to avert a potential food and fertilizer crisis arising from the war in Ukraine. Now, during a forum for the business community, Adesina also named two spheres where he hoped to see increased Japanese engagement with the continent, namely bilateral trade and investment. He also added that Africa accounted for at least 0.003% of Japan's $2 trillion in global foreign direct investment. Adesina stressed that Japanese firms which were bold in their investments in Africa were those that were prospering. He gave the example of Toyota Tsusho's investments in automobile factories in South Africa, which had generated $8.5 billion in revenues in March of 2022 alone. Others, he noted, included Komatsu and Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. Citing Africa's youth, entrepreneurism, and innovativeness, Adesina added, "Africa is home to a vibrant fintech ecosystem that is leading the continent's digital revolution with the highest potential to lead the world. The continent is home to 576 fintech startups, and they are run by young people." End of quote. This is where the head of the African Development Bank indicated that vital investment sectors that includes the production of lithium batteries that power electric vehicles, agribusinesses, and renewable energies, including from hydropower, wind, and geothermal sources, are needed for these sectors to flourish. Now, the TICAD 8 also included the signing ceremony for 91 memoranda of understanding that Japan's government and businesses have agreed on the continent with African corporations or governments. Now, all these pacts included projects across all five regions of Africa to develop human resource technical skills and green hydrogen, water desalination, and geothermal solutions. Now, Adesina also had bilateral meetings with the president of the Japanese International Cooperation Agency, JICA, Tanaka Akihito, and the governor of the Bank of Japan for International Cooperation, Nobumitsu Hayashi. He also attended a bilateral meeting with the leaders of the Keidanren, a Japanese economic organization representing businesses and industrial and regional associations. Now, the meetings are centered on the need for closer cooperation on investment, including co-financing for key projects, trade and opportunities for Japan's private sector, Discussions also covered the upcoming 16th replenishment of African Development Fund, the African Development Bank Group's concessional lending window. Now, TICAD, which takes place every 3 years, is organized by the government of Japan, the UN, the United Nations Development Programme, the African Union Commission, and the World Bank. And as we always do, every business at two, we end off with our Namibia statistic with our Namibia. And as we always do at the end of the business at two segment, we end off our discussion for today's program on taking a look at some of the local bursars and also international bursars and trading platforms, as well as also commodities, pricing, and also currency exchange rates here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Now, starting off with the Namibia statistics overall, where it ended on a -1.86 for its day's trading, which culminated in that slight adjustment up from the previous sessions, while the NSX local recorded a stalemate, not moving up nor down in terms of its day's trading, with just recording a 0% move. This takes us into the Johannesburg Stock Exchange All Share, which ended down -1.38%, while the JSE Top 40 was lower at -1.51%. Now, the industrials sector on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange platform was also down by -0.88%, while financials were up by a positive 1.54%. Resources were also lower in terms of actually recording the lowest in terms of the moves, just above that of gold miners, but resources had a -2.18%, while gold miners moved lower to a -4.45%. This pushes that, leads us into the international bursars, with the Shanghai Composite having lost in their earlier trading session a -0.57%. The Hang Seng had fallen by almost a full percentage point with a -0.92%, and the Nikkei 225 had risen by a positive 1.02%. This indicating a reverse in terms of its trading on the international Japanese platform. Now, heading to the US, where the Dow Jones had fallen by a -0.5%, the Nasdaq had just screeched past a full -1.02%, and also the S&P 500 had lost a -0.67%. This indicated towards a full $50.19 billion of trade volume that had taken place on the S&P 500. Now, the Stock 600 was down by a -0.81%, while the German DAX was down by a -0.61%. The French CAC 40 was lower by a -0.83%. The FTSE in the UK had concluded their day's trading down by a -0.70%, culminating in a total of £2.35 billion that was traded on the UK platform. Heading into the commodity pricing and where they find themselves, starting off with spot gold, where it ended off on a -0.11% in terms of its negativity, a negative level that it had achieved for its day's trading, while platinum had also recorded a -0.53%. Palladium, however, did the opposite, indicating a positive 0.04% for its day's trading, while silver also recorded a negative with -0.37% in its session. For uranium, still no moves in terms of just recording a flat 0.00% move in terms of its day's trading. However, on its year-to-date performance, it stands at a whopping positive 13.42% in that regard. However, for Brent crude oil, it recorded another negative move with a -0.84%, while iron ore saw the biggest moves in terms of the commodities with a positive 2.50% move. For copper, it also recorded a positive percentage move with a 0.33%, while natural gas recorded a negative 1.86% in terms of its day's trading. Heading into the currencies and also the exchange rates for these currencies, with the US dollar, with how the Namibian dollar fares up against the major currencies across the world, the US dollar will get you 16.85 Namibian dollars, 1 euro will get you 16.85 as well, while 1 British pound will get you 19.72 Namibian dollars. The US dollar against the other major currencies in the world, with 1 euro getting you 99 US cents, 1 British pound will get you 1.17 US dollars, and 1 Australian dollar will get you 68 US cents for that exchange rate. This brings us in to the end of the economic indicators here on Business.